What can we do to propagate solid biblical theology around the world in the way in which we practice the care of souls in the churches, to strengthen churches so that they can make disciples?
Welcome to Biblical Counseling in Action. I'm Steve Byers, and this is a podcast that addresses questions like, how do these principles penetrate every facet of local church ministry? What does it look like when biblical counseling starts to impact the youth ministry, or our ladies' Bible studies, or our men's ministries, or the way leaders function together, or the way decisions are made in the church? And what does it look like in the lives of everyday church members who have been trained, or maybe who have been counseled, but now they're continuing to live out these principles in everyday life? That's what this podcast is all about.
Hi there, my name is Josh Greiner, and I'm subbing in for Pastor Steve Byers today. This is Biblical Counseling in Action, and today we have with us Dr. Dale Johnson. It's a privilege and a delight to be with you today, Dale.
Yeah, so great to be here, and good to be with you, Josh.
You know, I'm looking forward to our conversation here today. You know, maybe just get us started a little bit. Tell us your story. How did you become interested? How did you get involved in biblical counseling? I don't think I know the answer to that.
Yeah, a little bit of an interesting story maybe to some. My mom certainly thinks it's an interesting story. I grew up in the church, wonderful family, came to faith at a young age of 11. All the older ladies in church said that the Lord would be calling me to ministry and that sort of story. And the Lord was just very faithful and kind to me. And even growing up, high school, loved athletics, wanted to play baseball. Baseball took me to college to play and that sort of thing. And even through all of that, I didn't know what in the world I wanted to do. I just wanted to play baseball. So I get to college. All my buddies are wanting to make money, so they're doing school of business. I'm like, hey, that would be kind of cool. I think I'll do business. Well, I didn't do very well in an economics class. And so I'm like, yeah, the Lord's making this very clear. This is not my gifting. And so as a part of my common courses, I had to take Intro to Psychology. And man, I just became unbelievably enthralled with that discipline. I was taught by atheists and agnostics, and so I saw psychology for what it was in the way in which it was intended to be presented, and I was very intrigued by it. However, you know, being a believer and having the word poured into me, I knew something was off, and I couldn't explain why. I had the idea, man, I want to go into counseling. I'd love to help people, that sort of thing. But man, something just seemed weird. But I couldn't articulate it. I couldn't understand it. But I was still intrigued, just all the things I was learning and that sort of thing. So one day, my now wife, we started liking one another at a very young age. She had a piano teacher, and her piano teacher was married to a pastor. And so one day we're out at lunch at a local fast food place, and as a pastor, he was asking me about my classes and how things were going, just, you know, getting to know me a little bit better. And he says, how's your psychology class going? And I start explaining to him, man, I'm not really sure. I'm not sure how to explain this, but this is a, you know, I'm having some difficulty here understanding this and this, and this doesn't seem to be consistent with what the Bible says about this, and just fumbling around, not really able to understand. And he's like, you know what? I think I have somebody that you would enjoy reading. And the next time we met, he gave me Jay Adams' book, The Christian Counselor's Manual. And that was the first Jay book I was given, not Competent, but Christian Counselor's Manual. And so I start reading this book, and I'm like, oh my word, he's explaining all the things that I have, you know, not had words to explain. And it just began to make so much sense to me. That was my introduction to biblical counseling. I start reading, I get competent to counsel. I start reading more, even outside of Jay. And then, you know, I went on to play baseball and that sort of thing professionally for a short time. And the Lord called me out of that into ministry. And so my wife and I were looking for a seminary that taught biblical counseling. And so we wound up going to a seminary where that was taught. And I did a Master of Divinity in biblical counseling, left there to go serve a church, to be their pastor of family life, where I dealt with discipleship. And one of the primary goals was to start a counseling ministry. So yeah, that was how I got into the whole world of biblical counseling.
Now, that pastor who gave you that book, would he have called himself a counselor? Would he have said that?
He wouldn't have looked at himself as being a quote-unquote counselor. I think he had a biblical view of seeing himself as a shepherd. And even in those days, one of the things that would be unusual would be for a pastor, it was only people in Nank circles during those days who would who would really engage. But as a pastor, he would engage. He saw some of the problems from many churches where pastors would not engage in the care of his people. So he would see himself as being a shepherd, and he engaged in that role. And so, yeah, he wouldn't call it counseling, but he would see his responsibility to shepherd. So that was an unusual situation, but the Lord providentially had our paths cross in a very significant time in my life.
What I appreciate about your story was, even in my own life, as I came to just knowing the Lord in college, there was something stirring inside of me for years, but I just couldn't articulate it. I knew that there had to be something better than psychology and the drugs that they were giving me, that there had to be something better, but I didn't know what biblical counseling was ultimately until I heard Steve Vyers preach on it, and I thought, I need help from that man. Mm-hmm. I didn't get help from that man. I got help from somebody else, but I know what you're saying there. Maybe share with us just a moment or two about what are the capacities you're serving the Lord now? I know you're up to a lot, so just give us, how are you serving the Lord, especially in the biblical counseling world?
Yeah, the Lord has been very kind and gracious. I served several years back now as an associate pastor and just always had a burden, because one of the things that was important to me, I was seeing what the Lord was doing in our counseling ministry and the way it was missional in the community in which we lived, and we were seeing the Lord do some tremendous things. And I just became very, very burdened for pastors. That if they could see the scriptures this way, they would change the narrative of churches in their communities from being places where people assume that, you know, you're out to get something, to know we're out to give something, we're out to help people. And that burden led me back to seminary to do a doctoral degree, wanting to teach pastors, because in my mind I thought, you know what, this is not taught among many seminaries, so pastors are going out, they're trying, even if they care about shepherding their people, they're trying to do it, they're not equipped, they don't have a vision to do this, they don't know what this can look like. And I just was so burdened for pastors to see the church function in a way that truly cared for souls. That's what drove me back. And that's what's kept me in seminary teaching ministry now, is I would much prefer, to be honest, to be back in local church and serving in that way. But the burden for pastors is just so heavy for me to be able to teach them, to train them so that they have a vision of biblical soul care before they go out to the church, so that they can lead their church in truly caring for people with the biblical sufficiency that we hold so dear. And so now I am serving as an associate professor of biblical counseling at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri. So that takes up quite a bit of my time, teaching classes every semester. And I teach classes from the bachelor's level to the master's level and the doctoral level. And the doctoral level is, you know, often one of my favorite things to do, to just challenge guys and gals in some, you know, deeper thought as it relates to biblical counseling as well. And so somebody asked me the other night, you know, what is your favorite class to teach? I would say it's the intro class. It's so much fun to sit in the room and watch the light bulb come on for so many people. And that's such a thrill to me. So that's one area. And then, of course, ACBC, that has me quite busy, you know, teaching different places and then, you know, addressing different issues within the biblical counseling movement. And the Lord has just been kind and gracious. We have a really wonderful team there in Kansas City on staff, and we're just seeing the Lord do some amazing things. And so that capacity is doing what I can to uphold the standards that we have and then trying to teach and inform others about biblical counseling. So the way I often say it is, the seminary is to catch the pastor before he goes out to the church, and the work at ACBC is often to catch the pastor after he figures out he wasn't trained super well. And so we can come back and train him to think about biblical soul care and help him to train the people in his church to do this as well.
You know, that last part you said there about the seminary to get him on the way in, I'm going to steal that. I just want you to know that.
Okay. That's great.
What I'm talking about, I'd be like, here's how you think about ACBC and your training.
I'll mention one other thing, Josh, that I think is a part too, and I don't ever want to forget this, is the ministry that my wife and I do at our local church. We're not in any official capacity. I'm not serving currently as an elder, but it is a place where the Lord is allowing us as a family to flourish. And that's a ministry, you know, to the people of God in that local place where we're edified, we're encouraged, and we have opportunity to do that with others. And that's really significant in our life, because the other ministries that I do are pouring out. And just the mutual edification with believers is so important, that you're connected to a local body in that way as well.
Yeah, I think as my time just to kind of observing you and getting to know you a little bit, I have seen your dedication to the local church. And I think I'm encouraged by it. I think people should be encouraged that biblical counseling obviously revolves around in and through the local church, but you have a special passion for the local church. So I'm very thankful for that. You know, maybe kind of pivoting here for a minute, thinking about biblical counseling on a broader, bigger scale, kind of a meta way. I mean, you're a person with this view. You're obviously looking at things at a level that a lot of folks aren't. But when you think about some of the reasons for biblical counselors to be excited these days, for ACBC excited, what are some of the ideas that come to your mind? Here's why we should be excited right now.
Man, I could go on about this particular question. I think what we're seeing tremendous growth. I mean, unbelievable growth. And that tells me that people are interested, where churches are turning their hearts back into a direction to see the beauty of the riches of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, and the sufficiency of Scripture. And they're hungry to be trained by it. And so we're seeing growth in multiple directions. Our training centers around the U.S. and now expanding internationally. We're up to, I think it's 84 now, training centers. When I assumed my role back in 2018, I think we were in the 60s. So we're seeing, you know, even those who are doing counseling and training counselors, we're seeing that grow around the country. That's an unbelievable excitement for me. The individual counselors that we see, in the last several years we've had around or in excess of 300 certified members. Well, the last 4 years we've sustained that type of growth. And each of those years, that's more than the first 27, 28 years of NANC combined.
Wow.
So if you think about what the Lord is doing, that doesn't just mean, man, ACBC is doing wonderful. It just means the Lord is stirring his people to turning their hearts back to the Scriptures and the sufficiency that he provides in caring for deep needs of people. Now, on the heels of that, I think one of the things that's really interesting is I would contribute one of the most exciting things is you're seeing in the secular world right now somewhat of a confusion and implosion of the secular system, secular psychiatry, secular psychology. And when I say implosion, I'm not saying that to indict individuals who are part of that. What I'm saying is because anybody who goes into the world of mental health or wants to help people, it's not because they hate people. They want to help. So when I say these things, I'm not saying this as an indictment upon people who work in these spheres. But what you're seeing happen is people not knowing, they're mistrusting the reliability of what was, you know, thought to be, you know, wonderful parts of science and that sort of thing. And I think what's happening is that's leaving a lot of people desperate in their lives. And as our culture experiences more of that desperation, they find themselves, you know, trying on different things to seek an answer. And you're seeing some people turn back to a love of the church, seeing the church as necessary for soul care and that sort of thing. So I think that's something to celebrate because one of the biggest hindrances that I see among pastors and even among lay people is we have this exalted view of professionalized clinical style of counseling. And with that, our hearts are sort of hindered against the beauty of the depth of the Scripture in the way it deals dynamically with the problems of people. And so I think part of our growth is we're seeing, you know, people are recognizing the emptiness that's out there in the world. One of the other things I'll mention that I think I'm unbelievably excited about is growth in terms of international growth. Mm. We are seeing, you know, places around the world, you know, desire and have a hunger for biblical counseling. Now, to me, that is so unbelievably incredible because all you think of all the things, Josh, that we've propagated from America in the name of Christian religion, and it's shameful. To be honest, we have propagated false theology. We've set people up in a prosperity style of thinking about life. And the Scripture makes very clear that when we don't expose those things, they hinder our ability to see the fruitfulness of the light of Christ as we walk in the light of Christ. And so I think a part of our repentance is to say, you know what? What can we do to propagate solid biblical theology around the world in the way in which we practice the care of souls in the churches, to strengthen churches so that they can make disciples and they'll pierce the darkness in the places that they are. So we're seeing unbelievable hunger and growth, and we're trying to organize to meet that demand, and that's such a blessing as well. So if I were to say, those are some exciting things. Maybe one final thing that I'll say is you're seeing more and more schools starting to teach biblical counseling, whether that be at the bachelor's level, the master's level, or even doctoral level, so that we can see biblical counseling taught and propagated more and more at seminary levels to catch more and more pastors before they go out. So I think the Lord is just being very kind in so many ways right now where we're seeing growth, and it is something that's quite exciting. And let me just say this, as a part of all of this, I'm excited that we are humble enough to know that we've not done everything perfectly, but we're also striving as best as we can to understand Scripture better, to try and apply it better. And so we're constantly growing in those ways. And I'm just thankful that the Lord is kind to help us to grow in those ways, to deal with issues as they come up, as culture ebbs and flows.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot of growth there. And I know for me, one of the things, as you've mentioned at ACBC conferences, the growth, it's just been encouraging. It can't help but encourage all of us to see the growth, to see persons getting certified, more people getting trained, and even those schools offer these degrees, and even some institutions switch from being integrationist to being fully committed biblical counseling schools. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. But obviously, with all these blessings, there's going to be some concerns. Yeah. There's going to be some challenges on the horizon. You have a unique view to some of these challenges and horizons that many of us might not have. When you think about a few of those things, what comes to your mind?
That's such a good question, and I think it's not an easy question, to be honest, because you're one person at one particular part in time, and you just always have to be careful of the limitations of what one person can see at a given moment. And so I fully, as we talk about this, I recognize that, you know, it's one person seeing through one slide of the prism, trying to understand what we see happening. But I do see some consistencies. If we were to look back in history and we were to see movements that have happened throughout the church, I think you see something consistent that's happening even in the biblical counseling movement, where, you know, there's a firmness, a conviction to separate, to come out from what was common in the culture, sort of awakening, so to speak. A movement begins on some level. And then as the movement is sort of settled, it has a distinct place moving forward, you start to see divisions and splintering that happens. And I think that's normal to most movements in history. I think the management of that for us in this given time is going to be so important. You know, we don't want to repeat the mistakes of those in church history or even those who are written about in Scripture, that I'm of this way and I'm of that way. We're all of Christ, and I think we have to maintain that particular focus. Having said that, I think there are some real differences where the umbrella of biblical counseling, in my view, unfortunately, is expanding further and further. Now, when I say unfortunately, what I mean is I want biblical counseling to expand. That's not the idea, but the definition of it and what we deem is appropriate biblical counseling, I think, is expanding. So I think that's going to be a challenge, because there's some stark differences in how people, you know, from a particular paradigm will approach different issues. And so I think this comes from a desire to grow, right? Mm-hmm. A desire. And when I say grow, I don't just mean numeric growth. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, one man in Jay Adams, he could not speak in every way about everything, okay? And it's so unfair to me when we look back in history and we assume, you know what, we're just going to like cancel Luther because he didn't give us everything we needed to know in form of correction of what was happening. Well, he gave us some really substantial stuff, and I hope we can build off of that. And I think, you know, as we look at Jay and the work that he did, so thankful for him in the work that he did. David saw some things that I think, hey, let's try and grow. I think one of the narratives that I'm really concerned about is to act as though David was saying something altogether different. Mm. And I think that's unfortunate because, yeah, they had their disagreements, but David was not trying to create a new movement,
yeah,
right? If you think second generation, David was trying to take a lot of what Jay was doing and say, you know what, how can we grow in this?
Yeah.
Because the paradigm itself is good and it's there. And they disagreed about so much less than what they agreed on. And I think that's such an important point. And I think biblical counseling right now is splintering in some way to say, you know, as if, you know, co-opting David in some way to say, you know, he's saying something radically different. Man, I think that's really, we need to be very, very careful about that. Because what that does is then it opens up lanes calling something biblical counseling that really has no business being biblical counseling. I think there are clear key tenets that we can follow from one generation to another that I would argue are non-negotiable things that we need to cling to tightly. It doesn't mean we can't grow. Growth in and of itself is not always negative and bad. But growth to be of the same thing, that's when it's healthy. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to grow within the bounds that are set. And that means, you know, a flourishing of the sufficiency of Scripture, a flourishing of the way we understand human motivation, a flourishing of how we think about the dynamics of body and soul, mind and body, and so on. Those things are going to be important that we grow in that. Our perspective of science. we're not saying anything different than Jay ever said about science. Jay, if you read him clearly, he appreciated science. Mm. He was just trying to distinguish what was truly scientific and what was not. David did the same thing, 1999 article, Biological Psychiatry. He's doing the same thing, whereas Jay's era, he was talking about Freud and Carl Rogers, which was what was prominent in those days. David is talking about biological psychiatry because after 1980, that's what became dominant in the culture in which we live in mental health. They're speaking the same language, but to different prominent secular ideologies at the given time. And I think we have to continue that consistent work, or else we're going to find ourselves splintering, unfortunately. And the loser in all of this is the dilution of the movement and the counselees in the room. Because it's very clear biblically that if we choose to utilize wisdom outside of the scriptures and utilize wisdom that is in addition to the scriptures, what happens is it dilutes the clarity of the scriptures. And we believe, based on Ephesians chapter 5, that as we walk in the light, it exposes sin. And so as it exposes who we are on the inside, it allows us to walk at peace. Otherwise, we don't live life and see clearly. So I think that's really important. So maybe I would say maintaining fidelity. What we realize is no matter what type of organization you are, ACBC always has this, you know, reputation that, you know, we're the police and that sort of thing. Well, by nature, as a certifying organization, you sort of have to take a role like that. But what I think is happening is every organization in biblical counseling at some point realizes, even if they're different than ACBC, and that's fine, they realize that there's always a leftward gate that they have to uphold. No matter how far leftward that might look, they always have to say, you know what? There's some people who are like us and some people who are not. And as we, you know, maybe be reactionary to Jay or even some of the things David thought about, at some point we have to realize, you know what? There are some people that are not like us, and there are some people that are like us, and you have to make some of those calls. And our timidity to do that, I think on some level, it creates a dilution of what we really mean when we talk about biblical counseling. So I think maintaining fidelity. The third thing I would say is something like this, maintaining our connectivity to the local church. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so important, because the tendency for us maybe to have respectability from an academic perspective or whatever the case might be is we want to speak a narrative that we think is accepted in the world's systems. And I just think we have to be cautious about that. The Lord seems to warn us in that way. And I'm not saying that, I mean, I'm bought in 100% that the Bible is unbelievably sufficient and that it's absolutely effectual. However, the way that I describe those things are not going to make sense to the secular world. And I think to some level that shouldn't make me lazy, as if I don't study, I don't research, I don't read secular science. I read a lot of secular books. I read a lot of secular psychiatry. I read a lot of research. So I'm all about us doing that, but not for the purpose of posturing ourselves to adopt those things. And I think it leads us in some way to disconnect ourselves from the vitality of the church. We're not going to replace or improve God's methodology of soul care. And I think it's very clear that that methodology is the church. And so I think we have to be very, very clear on that particular issue. And then maybe the final thing I'll say is just as we grow, making sure that we grow in wisdom in relation to science. When we think about science, certainly we don't want to make the mistakes of those in history. And I'm talking about far back in history where the church is seen as being blind and obstinate to those things which are obviously true as it relates to science. But I think in this category of mental health, we have to be very, very careful and very cautious to say that what we're talking about biblically is a way of wisdom. And what the secular world presents in terms of modern counseling psychology is also a way of wisdom. I wouldn't put it in the category of what is known as a hard science. And I think that reality, we have to be able to discern the difference between what God says is clear truth that represents reality in the world in which he's made, and that which is scientism. And I think that is an unbelievably important task for us in biblical counseling right now. And then I think further, our constant ability to make sure we're diagnosing problems with the language and label of the Bible and not with the language and label of the secular world. Because the more that we do that, we open ourselves up. The way I often say it is something like this. However we describe the cause of a problem narrows the field that we look in for the remedy. And so when we're using secular language because we deem it quote-unquote scientific or whatever, we begin to narrow based on their explanation of causes where we look for the remedy. And that often forces us to leave a biblical explanation of the problem, and therefore it leads us away from a biblical solution. Not intentionally, but it forces us to become blind or hindered to what the Bible might have to speak into those issues. So those are some dangers that I see that I think we need to be very cautious about right now. But overall, man, we're seeing the Lord do some tremendous things, and I'm really grateful for that.
Well, Dr. Johnson, I want to say that I'm very grateful for you. I'm grateful for your teaching ministry. I'm grateful for your leadership at ACBC and just in the biblical counseling movement in general. It's been a joy and a delight to get to know you, to see you over the years. I just want to say thanks for coming on this podcast here today. God bless you, brother. Continue the good work that you continue to do.
Thanks, Rand. Enjoy being with you.
You can check out more about our ministry at faithlafayette.org. Or if you're interested in receiving biblical counseling training, go to faithlafayette.org/conferences. You can find these presentations wherever you normally access your podcasts, and you could really help us just to get the word out by telling your friends on social media that these presentations are going to be available. Our hope and our prayer is that this podcast honors the Lord and is a blessing to you.